morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. It is Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. First, just a very few headlines to get through. As promised, we are going to revisit our discussion with Ingrid Barrington that we began yesterday. Ingrid, of course, is a writer with Waging Nonviolence. And yesterday, listeners may recall, we were talking about the architecture of surveillance, and hopefully listeners have had a chance to take a look at some of the photographs. Ingrid simply walked in and started taking pictures of the manner in which the NSA presents itself and other surveillance agencies present themselves to the general public. The issue, of course, is the banality of evil. The structures themselves and some of the signage is designed in such a way as to include the visitor in the operation of cloaking what goes on inside in the visitor's own experience. So you're inside and outside at the same time. Fascinating photographs. I'm amazed that they didn't drop a net on Ingrid and haul her away. Nonetheless, she's here, and she'll be with us in just a moment. First, the weather from around Cascadia, and a few headlines briefly before we get into this. Today, cloudy, areas of fog until around midday. Patchy fog in the afternoon, highs 45 to 50, light winds, and for tonight, bit of cloud cover moving in. Areas of dense fog late, lows 30 to 35, light winds. For tomorrow, overcast skies, dense fog in the morning, highs 45 to 50, and for tomorrow night, overcast, foggy, sucked in, lows 30 to 35, and it could be a wee bit breezy out in the gorge. Your alternative forecast today, the moon, it's a flower moon in Gemini. It's a full moon, 14 days old. The synodic forecast says, now's a good time to sow root vegetables. And yes, indeed, it is. Now's the time to get out there and do that. Biodynamic outlook, moon in Gemini, it's an air sign. It's a good time to sow flowering plants. And take note, if there's anything out there right now that you're thinking of bringing in, fruits harvested right now should be eaten straight away. That would go for things like medlars, of course. And sidereal forecast, moon in Gemini, sea berries too. Let's not forget them. Sidereal moon in Gemini, barren and dry, yet good for promoting flower growth. If you see any flowers out there, give them a hand. Okay, that's it for both the alternative and the conventional forecast. As many people know around Portland right now, police have once again been exonerated for a shooting. And this just seems to go on and on, despite the involvement all the way up to the federal level of agencies that have looked at the behavior of the Portland police and said there's something very wrong here. These are the very agencies that usually sign off on police brutality. Take a look. Compare some of the other events that the police have been involved in. The fact that here that the police generally get a slap on the wrist and then their job's back, very often with back pay. It's all restored to them, and the public gets on with life. And until one is personally the victim, it usually doesn't raise an eyebrow. And this has gone on this way for a very long time. Water Bureau issues. We're going to speak later on with Floyd Jones and about that. Public oversight again for a while, and it's about time that the public took charge of its own water and sewage practices. It's about the only way that we have to safeguard them for future generations, because you know what? Elected officials come and go, but we the people are always here. And if we don't protect our water, then who indeed will? That said, on the subject of water, the Columbia River crossing notable experts. We're not exactly told who they are or what their background is. That's research that one does on one's own. But they have pointed out that those who are working directly for the governor say that all of this is going to be paid for by tolls. It seems more like it's going to be paid for by us, the trolls that cross the bridges. But people are just not going to do it, is the bottom line. Mostly people from Washington State are the ones that do cross the bridges every day for work. And they have said definitively that they aren't interested in Kitzhaber's bridge for sale. So we're wondering right now just exactly how far these tolls are going to get us. Kitzhaber seems to have his heart set on it, and nothing thus far has been able to dissuade him. So that's why they call in the experts. But the public has had very little influence in the decision-making processes here, and we wonder at what point we will actually weigh in. Other than letters to the editor and op-ed pieces, there hasn't been very much. The Oregon Institute of Technology recently was named to a military-friendly schools list maintained by Victory Media, a national company, a very right wing that specializes in connecting the military and professional worlds. That is, by the way, Victory Media. Take a good hard look at them. We're going to examine them in depth over the next few weeks. The military-friendly schools designation is awarded to colleges, universities, and trade schools that work with former service members to help them excel in the classroom after graduation. Indeed. Yeah, let's further militarization of every aspect of life in America. The militarization of the police departments, as we've seen right here in Portland, has been pretty much a done deal. So again, thinking about some of these other issues, and of course the big headline nationally today is the end of net neutrality. This simply means that the internet as we know it will be fully monetized, and certain information is going to be flowing at a much slower rate than other information, and you can pretty much see exactly what information is going to be flowing at lightning speed and what information isn't. All the more reason is to reinvent the internet as a true people's utility. And dark nets may be the way to go as we think more and more about encryption and ways of protecting our privacy. It seems like this is the tipping point and the moment when it might behoove people to take action on that front. That said, and there are more headlines, but right now we do have Ingrid joining us again today to continue the conversation on the architecture of surveillance. Good morning, Ingrid. Thank you so much for being back with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, the architecture, what we started, it seemed that we were about to get into the psychology of this. The buildings themselves, one of them, of course, looks exactly like the Kaaba. It looks like it fell out of space and landed smack in the middle of an office park. Even for an office park, this building is exceptionally intimidating. All of them do seem to have that old Soviet brute cruelty look to them. What astonished me was that nobody arrested you for wandering around taking the terrific pictures. Talk more about the psychology of it and how you managed to simply walk in and take pictures.
Well, I mean, first, just to clarify, the actual like headquarters of the NSA, that building has been around since I think the late 1950s. Surprisingly hard to find out who the actual architect behind that was, but that is actually a separate complex from the office park that is pretty much like immediately adjacent to the Fort Meade complex and the NSA headquarters. And I think it's actually pretty difficult to take pictures of the NSA building itself. And I think one of the reasons that it's a lot easier to go to pictures of this adjacent office park is, one, it's kind of boring. Like there are no kind of like red flags, or like there's no kind of like level of like mystique and hype placed around it as much as, say, like the NSA itself, you know. But I also think one of the reasons that it was like fairly easy is because it would have been probably more to their disadvantage to try and like aggressively stop someone from coming in. I mean, that would have been like an excuse for somebody to go to the press and say, "Hey, I can't take pictures in this like space," and they're being very aggressive about it, and that would have drawn more attention to the entire complex. The pictures themselves are not necessarily that, like, and I was eventually like told by somebody who worked there that I couldn't take pictures, but they didn't take anything off of my camera. They didn't ask to see what I had been taking pictures of. They kind of just let me go. And I think that the entire point was to intimidate me kind of in a moment, but they didn't necessarily have that much at stake.
The Waging Nonviolence is Kathy Kelly's work. It all takes place on a very human level. And it is, what I'm very curious about is the degree to which this whole, when we talk about the architecture of surveillance, I'm thinking of the psychological architecture of it as well, and how it's permeated the American psyche. Many people coming of age now forget that they've grown up under the USA Patriot Act. They give it no thought whatsoever. They take it for granted. And the architecture of their mind seems to have, there's a sort of an acceptance of the state that we live in right now, of self-censorship, and the assumption that that privacy is something that people aren't even familiar with what it means to have a private life. Can you just, to wrap things up here, talk about Waging Nonviolence in this atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really, really grateful that I've gotten to work with Waging Nonviolence on a few different projects, including this one, and I think that it's a really great, refreshing resource for alternative perspectives on a lot of different current events, including perspectives on how we think about privacy and mass surveillance, and on a much more human scale.
Ingrid, thank you so much for that. You've been a wonderful guest. We're so pleased that you were able to join us again today. This has been Cascadia, of course, for Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Last Wednesday, live report from Bangkok, Thailand, on the growing pro-democracy movement there. We'll also go to West Virginia to take a close look at the devastating chemical spill and the corporate flacks actively trying to shift blame. And 12 years of torture at Gitmo, a look at Obama's biggest lie. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to your daily investigative news magazine. First, we go directly to Thailand, Bangkok, Thailand, where the Thai protesters have marched on several government buildings on the second day of what they are calling a shutdown of the capital in Bangkok. Demonstrators surrounded the customs department and key road junctions remain blocked. The protesters want the government of Prime Minister Shinawatra to be replaced by an unelected People's Council. Well, we're going to go to somebody who actually comes out of Berkeley. He's now living in Thailand. He's calls himself an economic refugee. But we're delighted to have Mike Persh with you. Welcome to Flashpoints, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. It's good to be on Flashpoints after listening to you for so many years.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Why don't you just set the scene, explain like what was the trigger and what's been going on over the last couple of days? What does it look like from ground zero?
Well, the trigger was back when the Yingluck Shinawat government pushed through an amnesty bill which would absolve all political crimes from the year 2004 to the present date. And this was originally supposed to be from 2010. From the or 2006, excuse me, but they moved it back to 2004 to cover and absolve many corruption cases. Approximately 23,500 corruption cases would have been wiped off the books had this amnesty bill been passed.